This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
You may have heard that our former afternoons announcer and recording artist Emma Mullings and her hubby Terrence are off to the US to plant a church in Miami, Florida. It sounds warm, summery, beachy, and let's be honest, just slightly glamorous, really, living just across the water from the Bahamas, within reach of places like Jamaica, the Cayman Islands. Cool. But wait, hang on a bit. We're here to talk about the nitty-gritty, day-to-day, hard slog of church planting. Terrence and Emma Mullings are in the studio to share their vision for C3 History Makers in Miami. Welcome, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
I just got to get myself back to the studio because with that introduction, I just felt I'm lying on the beach
so
somewhere in the West Indies seeing my family in Jamaica. Yaman.
I need an excuse to visit now. It's funny, though, talking to you guys. I mean, Terrence, you're the boy from Wagga, kind of out my way. Emma, the girl from Ipswich, and you're off to Miami.
Yes. Yes.
Why Miami?
Well, Miami actually was never on my heart. God really put it on my heart. And I know Terrence had been talking about planting a church in Miami for many, many years, and it got to a point where I realized this was not going away. But I needed to hear from God myself. So we took the family over there on a trip, and I wanted to see the city, put my feet on the ground. And although we see, you know, the beautiful parts of Miami, I guess it's a bit like Sydney where people see, you know, the Opera House and the Harbour Bridge and Bondi, and it looks pretty, but there's a lot of parts of Sydney that aren't so pretty, and there's a lot of need in Sydney as well. And Miami is very much like that, amplified by 100. So we'd actually been there for 24 hours, and I felt like I'd seen enough.
Wanted to go home?
I did. I went for a walk on the beach. And I said to God, like, I can't bring my kids here, God. I can't. Like, it's a very broken city. It's beautiful, but it's very broken. But God spoke to me straight away, and he just said, you know, all the need that you see, the socioeconomic issues you see, that's why I need my people here, to build a life-giving church in the city of Miami, to bring hope and healing to this city. So I felt like God really allowed me to see it all, because that was the whole point. He wouldn't send us to a place where, you know, everything's fabulous.
Mm. I was actually going to ask you, did you feel instantly at home the instant your feet touched the sand?
Oh, no.
But no.
That was not my experience at all. I saw a lot of the need straight away, and I saw a lot of the brokenness of the city straight away. You know, even when you just walk down the main streets, there's more abortion clinics and Starbucks. There's, you know, 200 kids going to foster care each month. It's got one of the highest rates for sex trafficking and divorce in the United States. And
that sounds hopeful, doesn't it, sweetheart?
It's a gateway city into the US. So people are coming in looking for a better life with good intentions. And there is a lot of brokenness. And I saw that straight away, but I feel like God, you know, that was all part of the journey.
Mm. What about for you, Terrence?
Well, I think the journey was a little easier for me to have Miami, as knowing that God was calling us there, because I did grow up there for a portion of my life. Although I was born here in Australia, I was born in Brisbane, so I'm
a
Queenslander.
Got the Aussie accent.
Mate, I'll be bunging it on when I get there as well to let people know the Aussies are in town.
Yeah.
But I did actually grow up off Jamaican parents, which is very close to Miami. And my parents' story was that they migrated from Jamaica to Miami looking for the better life.
Mm.
And they didn't necessarily find that there. So as Emma mentioned, there's two sides to Miami. There's the beautiful side where you got the, you know, the Beyoncés and the Donald Trumps and all the rich and famous which go there because it's the place to be seen. But Miami also has this other side which is very broken and has lots of need. And I think for me, it was back in 2014 when I went on this 40-day fast. I really got clarity from God that Miami was a city he was calling us to live in and also to love on the people. Because, I mean, there was a few options. We could have planted a church here in Sydney. We could have gone to Ipswich, Miami.
Tough call. Yeah.
But look, I've always had a heart for
nothing wrong with Ipswich.
Nothing wrong with Ipswich. But I've got
a lovely family in Ipswich. I'm glad it's them and not me.
And Emma's family's from there. So just in case they hear this, I will speak only nice things about Ipswich. But look, ultimately,
so he's going to say nothing.
I'll say nothing. I plead the fifth. But ultimately, we're going because God called and we said yes. But it's amazing how God kind of takes you full circle. One of the other interesting stats about Miami is that the average age, the average churchgoer is 66 years old.
Mm.
Now, that blows my mind. Yeah, that means we've done a great job of reaching the people off yesterday. But what about the next generation, the leaders of tomorrow? And for us, it's this opportunity to reach them. 50% of the people that live in Miami were born outside of the USA. So you can only imagine what that does for the sense of unity and family. It's so segmented. And that's why we're going, to make a difference.
That's a big job.
It is a big job.
Have you thought about personally how you're going to cope with this? I mean, you're going over there, launching this brand new church. How are you going to protect yourselves from burnout, Em?
That's a big question. I will say I'm actually a pastor's kid. And I think having that experience, and actually I'm a pastor's kid that then walked away from church for many, many years. But that actually, I think, has given me a lot of wisdom as to what not to do, what we did in our previous generation. I think us, this generation, we're a lot wiser, just to family time and the needs of kids and creating a healthier family environment.
That is a brilliant answer, and I'll pretty much piggyback on what Emma said. I think we can learn from the wins and also the mistakes of our previous generation. Initially, how will we prevent ourselves from burning out? I think it's a understanding of who we are. So yes, we're church planters, but above a church planter, I'm actually a partner to Emma. And I'm a parent to Jeremiah and Hosanna. And what does that mean practically? Well, I'll schedule time in every day to make sure I have time for them. I look after them, love them. Because here's the deal. I once heard someone say, how do you manage a year? But I think you manage a year by being able to manage a month. And you manage a month by being able to manage a week. And how do you manage a week? Well, managing each and every day. And so each and every day we put in time for family. We put in time for friends. We put in time for the important things in life, for exercise. And that's really important, because if you're not healthy in your body and in your mind, how can you be healthy to reach people? So the simple answer is we manage our day well, and that will turn into managing a week well, managing a month well, managing a year well. And that's the foundation of making sure we don't burn out, by putting the priorities God first, family, exercise, health, and lots of love cuddles from my wife.
That sounds good. Does he live up to that, Emma, or is that overpromise and underdeliver?
He's pretty good, actually. He is pretty good, I have to say.
That's good. Okay. Do you have any concerns or worries, Emma, about moving over there?
Yes. I mean, I'd be lying if I said I didn't. I have a strong conviction, I guess would be the right word, that God has asked us to go, and we've said yes. But look, as many of you probably don't know listening, we actually have our...
Hang on. Drum roll.
Fourth baby on the way, which is a beautiful gift that I wasn't expecting. But you know what? I always say the best presents are the surprise presents. So, our son will be joining us next May. So practically, that is a lot to manage. We don't have any family here in Sydney as such, but we have great support network with friends. Obviously we're leaving that. But at the same time, I do have a piece about it. And I guess it's that piece that surpasses all understanding. Like, it doesn't make sense, but I feel like God's in it. So,
People will probably actually want to help you. It might be a great way of making friends, you know, a new baby. Oh, let me bring you food.
Totally. And people seem to love little caramel kids. So you probably can't see this on the radio, but I am of Jamaican parents. That means I'm a chocolate brother from a Jamaican mother. And so Emma being from Egypt as well. Our kids, honestly, it's amazing how many people walk up to our kids and go, oh, they're so cute. They look just like their daddy.
Oh, they do. They look nothing like
Don't worry, they do that to me as well when my kids aren't chocolate. So, you know.
So yes, we'll leverage that. But, you know, interestingly, I think we can talk about walking by faith, but there does come a time where you actually got to live out that faith. And I believe the safest place to be is in the will of God. And so we want to be in the will of God. And one of the great scriptures that God gave us for peace, and me for peace, thinking about our kids and the fact that America has guns and violence and racial tension.
And all those social issues that
you've
mentioned.
And all those massive social issues is this. He says in Isaiah that all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. And I think when you can stand on that, knowing that God's watching over you and that God's gone before, you're not doing this alone, you're doing this with Him, that brings great peace. So with all, yes, there is concerns, but I think to show our kids firsthand what it means to live out the Great Commission, to live out the gospel, to love on people and transform a city and a nation, that's pretty exciting for us.
And what's happening with your music, Emma?
Yes, I actually have a new single called Here and Now.
And you're going to continue to record music over in the United States?
I am. You know, the whole music journey was something that God really revived after many years of laying that down. So I always say I don't want to take it into my own hands. I just want to continue to be led by him in that whole area and that whole journey of music. But yeah, I feel like he's saying keep going and keep writing and keep recording. So yeah.
And that's something you're sharing together?
Yeah, well, I mean, we write songs together. Mm. So most of the first album that Emma did, we co-wrote together. And so I don't have the great voice, but I am a muso. So we get a chance to write together. It's fun at home because Jerry gets on the drum, our sons, and he plays the drums. Hosanna starts dancing. So it's a real family affair.
And so what are you going to miss? Let's start with you, Emma.
I'm going to miss Weet-Bix and Vegemite on a practical note and Nutella.
Now, they've got Nutella in America, babe. You're fine. Yeah, so you can continue to have those 12 tubs of Nutella that I find hidden in the car when I jump in your car.
Okay, stop.
Please pray for Emma. Pray for us because she's got an addiction.
I think you're oversharing, friends.
I just want to be really honest.
You know, I guess in Australia, there's a warmth to people. And I think that's something I probably didn't realize that we had until I spent some extended time in South Florida. We are just, you know, you're walking down the street. I mean, I don't know where you live, but where I live, you smile at the person, you say hello. They don't do that. And if they do, you're wondering what's going on and are they going to pull out a gun? It's just a different culture. Here we're very friendly, we're very warm, and I think I'm definitely going to miss that. But at the same time, that's actually part of the culture we want to bring to that part of the US.
Mm. And what about you, Terrence? What are you going to miss?
Oh, look, I'll definitely miss the lifestyle of Australia is different. I mean, in every aspect. As Emma mentioned, the friendships. We've got so many friends here. We've built relationship here over so many years. So it's hard to walk away from that. And Australia, like, I've traveled a lot. And over my years doing university, Jamaica, Cuba, Miami, Canada. And Australia really is the most beautiful, blessed country on the earth. So although we're going to Miami and people might think palm trees and beaches, like it really is a mission field we're going into. We're going in to try and take the beauty and the blessing of what we've experienced here over to Miami. So I'll miss the people. I'll miss the lifestyle. We used to go down to this wonderful little beach spot. That was my prayer spot with the kids. I'll miss the variety of food. There's Vietnamese here. There's Thai. They don't have all that.
On a practical note, I'm going to miss free health insurance. I am now just realizing how good we have it in Australia.
Yes, that we have free healthcare. And totally.
And I'll miss the ability just to put on a pair of thongs and everyone knows what I'm talking about. Whereas in America, it's just going to be a different story. I have to explain everything.
I think the thing that you're going to find, Terrence, is that people, you're going to have to be telling everybody all the time that you're Australian. People are going to assume Jamaican.
Being black, so growing up here in Australia, you could use it to your advantage. So I'd tell them I'm the Jamaican Vegan. So you just make up these nicknames and people just go for it. Tell them that my dad was actually part of Cool Runnings and people just believe it. But growing up in Jamaica, I'd tell them, mate, I'm the Thunder from Down Under. They used to love that, but it's funny. Growing up in America, they'd look at me and be like, what? A black guy from Australia? Yeah. Is he like an Aborigine?
You're an Aborigine, exactly.
So, yes, I will have to explain exactly who we are and what we're about.
Yeah. All right. So now, before we let you go, if people are listening and they want to support you, what can they do?
Yeah, so we've broken it down into four easy ways: pray, provide, participate, and publicise. And you can go to our website, historymakerschurch.com, and find out all about it there. But, prayer is the foundation. Prayer is actually what's going to make a way for this church plant. You can provide, you can partner with us. It costs a lot of money to plant a church any country, especially in another country. And you can find out about that on the website as well. Participate. Hey, if you want to come, you can come. Or if you've got family there, let them know about it and publicise. You know, you can do something we can't, and that is tell your friends and family that there's a new church starting. Miami is a very diverse city, but people actually tend to stick to their own culture. And so there's pockets of different, which is nice, but one of the things that God really spoke to us about was bringing unity and diversity. And we want the church, C3 History Makers, to represent that. And I think Terrence and I actually represent that naturally. And I actually think that's all part of the strategy of why God's asked us to go there.
Totally. I think I would say that we're excited that we feel that this is not our story but God's story. And interesting, the name of the church, History Makers, actually comes out of Hebrews 12:2, which says, keep your eyes on Jesus, who is the author. And so if God's an author, he's writing a story. And I love that he's written us into his story and that we all get to play a part and co-write history. So as we jump on and partner and participate, I reckon it's all of us getting into God's story and making history. So that's why it's called History Makers Church, helping people discover their part in history. And together, we can change the course of people's eternal destinies.
Oh, wow. Thank you, guys. Thanks for coming in. Nice to have you back here.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
That is Emma and Terrence Mullings. They're off to the US to plant a C3 church in Miami. It's called History Makers, and you can find out more at c3historymakers.com.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.